First Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. First of all, I appreciate and admire people like Derek, Jeremy, Erica, Bruce, the outreach team, being here all week, most of the week, coming here on Saturday morning, the day after the conference. I could say a lot more. I won't. But I just appreciate that. I just appreciate that they put out everything in the conference, everything that made every meeting, or most of them, let's say, but still, Saturday morning comes, the outreach service, the normal service, and they're still here, wanting to be at Jesus' disposal. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, it's easy to think up excuses. You know, you really don't have to look too far. The devil, he's always waiting. If he can get an ear, he'll speak into it. He'll speak excuses, or he'll speak, let's say, well, you're too tired this week. You know, let somebody else do it. You can rest. You know, and not that you shouldn't, it's just that, you know, if you can't maintain the pressure right now, you better break through it. If you think you're called into the ministry, I got news for you. You think your job is hard work? People used to tell me this. I'll tell you right now, I didn't believe them. It's a ministry is hard work if you do it right. I didn't believe them a bit. But I like this work. But I do like this work. But I want to tell you right now. You need to start right now breaking through some of those pressures, some of those things that the enemy's corralling you with. Your adversary is seeking whom he may devour. When I used to preach this, some people would say, well, I think you're centering in on the enemy too much. You're centering in on Satan too much. One thing I found of this is that the more you go into God, the more he's going to tell you about your enemy. You might as well get ready for it. If you're going to go very far into God, you're going to go very far into the call that he's told you to do. He's going to tell you more and more about your enemy and how he can come in and neutralize you or take you out totally, even steal your salvation if he gets that chance. The more you go into God, the more he's going to show you how he works. But he'll also along the way show you that you already have the victory and that everything's been given to you. Everything's, all equipment's been given to you to enforce the defeat. Because, you know, those will come to me and say, well, Satan was defeated. I don't have to center on him. Well, that's why you're called here to enforce his defeat and remind him that he's already defeated. And to show him that it may be proven what is the perfect will of God for your life. That's what you're doing whenever you're proving the perfect will of God for your life. You're enforcing the defeat of Satan. But he'll go about seeking whom he may devour. All week, I'm sure he was out on the outer fringes. He'll never get in the big middle. He'll get his head sliced off if he gets in the middle of a big move of God. But he'll work along the outer fringes anywhere that he can, seeking whom he may devour. Coming in to see, well, can I lure this one away? Can I deceive this one? Can I keep this one from receiving something? Can I cause division? Can I cause strife? Every area. He just goes around the outer fringes seeking whom he can get an audience with. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have time to give him an audience. But the Word says that he will come seeking whom he may devour. But the Word of God also says that if you submit to God and resist the enemy, he'll flee. He has to leave. In fact, let's just turn to that in James chapter 4, verse 7. Actually, we'll start with verse 6. It says, but He gives more grace. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Then He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. One thing I like about God, He may make some requirements. He may say, if you're going to resist, if you're going to turn away from this devourer and not be devourable, you're going to have to resist the enemy. And then He goes on, He says, you're going to have to draw near to Me. He'll tell you something that you need to do, that you need to do to implement the grace of God in your life, to get it activated. You know, they say, well, oh, Brother Rogers, it's all by the grace of God. Yeah, you need to get the grace of God activated in your life. Some of you are not activating it in your life. I wasn't activating it in my life for a long time. But you can actually activate the grace of God in your life. Everything that you could not earn, that was given to you as a free gift, can be activated into your life. You say, well, by the grace of God, I've already received that. Yeah, you have. We would like to just see it manifested in our lives. So I want to do everything I can to activate that grace that's been given to me. You see it manifested in my life. And He says, you know, He'll say something like, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I'd really like to resist the devil if I just knew how to resist him. Well, the first thing He says is, He gives you the way out. He says, submit to God. Oh, I did, Brother Rogers, and boy, the devil came in even stronger. I mean, I thought the torment was bad before I started. When I submitted to God, the torment was turned up. You need to submit to God a little bit longer than 5 minutes. You need to, that was bad. I really could have used a better example. You need to submit to God more than one day. He says, submit to God, resist the enemy, and he'll flee. And I always wanted to know how to resist the enemy. How to resist the enemy. But it's all contained right there. You know, we're going to go to some other places. We're going to go back to 1 Peter here in a little bit. But it was really all contained right there. If you meditate it out, he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. If we want to resist the enemy, the first step we're going to have to take is realize who our dependency falls upon. All dependency must be in God. Every area of your life, if you're facing financial difficulty, you might as well give it up and put your dependency on God. You might as well realize through meditation of the Word of God that He's a God that will supply all of your needs. He didn't say part. He didn't say a few. He didn't say half or three quarters. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs. So you've got to settle that issue. Remember, you're going to submit to God. Because when you submit to God, you can resist the devil and he'll flee. When you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Oh, my God will draw near to me. Yes, He will when you draw near to Him. He's not the one that's moved out of focus. He's not the one that stepped off the path that He called you to. We're the ones that step off the path. He says, draw near to Me, and He'll draw near to you. So if we've moved off the path, we've moved away and quit drawing near to Him, then we're unable to resist the enemy that he'll flee. See, whenever you say resist the devil, you've got to have something to resist him with. You know, I run into people in different areas. You know, we go out and do miracle services and you know, they'll come up in a healing line. Well, I'm standing against this disease. I'm standing against this problem in my kidneys or my gallbladder, my heart. You're standing. Yeah, I'm standing. What are you standing with? Well, I don't know, but I am standing. No, actually, you're wishing. You're wishing. says to draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. If you submit yourself unto God, if you give yourself, if you surrender yourself unto God and His Word. See, you want to know what God's like. You've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to see what God's like by looking at the Word of God, the image. The image of Christ. The image of God. If you want to know what God looks like, you've got to get in His Word. If you want to know what His heart is, you've got to get in His Word. You've got to submit yourself unto God. You can't stand and resist the devil if you don't have anything to resist with. And everything that you have at your disposal is everything that you need to resist Him in every area is contained in the Word of God. If you want to know what God's heart is like, if you want to know what His character is like, if you want God's character because your character stands out like a sore thumb, and you want to have God's character, you've got to find God's character in the Word of God. That's the image that He's given unto you. If you want to resist the devil in the area of character in your life, right now, even the enemy's at work in this service on the outer fringes. If you have a character problem in your life, if your problem in your life is character, nobody can trust you because you lie. Nobody can depend on you because you don't keep your word. You've got to get in and find out what the image of Christ is concerning character. Because the only way you're going to be able to resist the enemy, to keep him from using that thing that's within you, see, he can only defeat you or turn you different directions by what is inside you. That's why you become your own problem. That's why you become your own destruction. It's because of the things that are within us that he can grab a hold of and that he can twist and lead different directions. He'll take those things inside us, even those things that we don't like ourselves. He'll take those things and begin to take us a different direction. Or He'll turn it up within those character flaws that cause us a character problem. You know, we can't be depended on. We can't be depended on to tell the truth. We can't keep a job because of that character problem that's inside that He can grab a hold of. And we become our own. It's not Him actually that destroys us. We become our own destruction because of what's inside. But He says, yet if you'll submit yourself to God, He'll draw near to you. If you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. You submit yourself to God and resist the enemy, He'll flee. But how can you resist Him if you don't have something at your disposal to resist Him with? It's not just good enough to know that the Word of God is true. It's not just enough to know that you have the Word of God. It's not just enough to know that Jesus gave you everything in heaven and earth, all authority over darkness. It's not just good enough to know that you have that. You gotta have that inside you that you can pull up on it when the enemy comes to be able to discern that he's even coming to begin with. And not be walking in deception. And justifying your rights. When you died in Christ, you have no rights. Except the rights in heaven and earth, the Word of God outlines your rights. Taken in context. Everything that you need to resist Him with is contained in the Word of God. That's why I preached a message one time called, Don't Shortchange Yourself. It's because people were walking around. He told me, he said, they're not even coming close to using everything that I've given them to use. All authority's been given to them, but it's not implemented in their life. I gave it. They need to pick it up and use it. They need to take advantage of me. That's what he spoke to. He said, they need to take advantage of God. Now, if you said that in some religious circles, and I know we don't have any religious circles right here, but if you said that in some religious circles, take advantage of God. How dare you? Well, he's the one that spoke it. Followed up by prayer, fasting, worship, meditation in the Word of God, confession. But he says, if you'll submit yourself unto him and resist the enemy, he'll have to flee. He doesn't have any choice. When he flees, you're enforcing his defeat. When he hangs around, you're not enforcing his defeat. When he takes the things in your life, in your flesh, in your soul, the filthiness of the Spirit, when he takes those things and controls you and leads you down that path of destruction or neutralizes your ministry and what God's called you to do, neutralizes you your entire life, you're not resisting him. If he's not fleeing in some area of your life, you're not resisting him. But how can you resist him unless you have something to resist him with? Turn with me back to 1 Peter. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Peter 5. Now let's start with verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, he's talking about me there, submit yourself to your elders. Now he's talking about Barbara. She's not here to defend herself, but she's hearing me. Says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I give Barbara a hard time a lot. She knows where I stand. She knows how much I love her. She knows I'll walk through hell with her. Says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. You know, because God resists the proud. The first thing you can do is begin to surrender yourself and submit yourself unto him and say, if there's any pride in my life, I want it out. Well, the first thing he's going to do is begin shining the light on the pride. And he's given you a chance with his power, with that born-again spirit. He's given you a chance to break that pride in your life. And he'll walk, as long as you hate it, he'll walk through hell with you trying to get rid of it. Shine the light upon it every time it pops up, as long as you submit yourself, surrender unto him. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, I want the grace of God. I want the grace of God. You say, what is the grace of God? That thing that's in you, you want it out just as bad, or if not better than everyone else around you. His grace is sufficient to walk with you, to take you through. His grace is sufficient. His grace will be with you as long as you hate that thing and want it out of your life. Now, when you get to the point when you say, everybody's going to have to accept me like I am. They're just going to have to accept me like I am. Just because I'm self-exalting and I destroy other people's lives, they're going to have to accept me like I am. My friend, the grace of God is not with you. He said he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let me tell you something. Most ministers, starting out especially, they just have trouble with that. They want to be to the top. They want to be to the top right away. Actually, if they went to the top under their own hand, under their own arm of the flesh, they're opening up for destruction. Because if God doesn't do the exalting, it can be taken away. If man does exalting, it will be taken away by man. If you exalt yourself, you'll self-destruct. But he says, if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God? Humbling yourself, submitting yourself under the Word of God and the things in the Word of God, the tools, the principles that he's given you to transform with, humbling yourself under the hand of God, that he may mold you and shape you and take you and eventually exalt you to that position that he wants you to be at. He so desires for me to walk in the fullness of every bit of anointing that I can walk in. Right now, I'm walking in the anointing that I can walk in. I've determined how much anointing that I'm walking in. He has given much more. But I'm the one that determines it by submitting myself unto God for transformation according to His Word, submitting myself unto Him to use the principles in the Word of God, such as prayer, fasting, worship, meditation, confession, Did I say prayer? I said again, prayer. Submitting myself unto God and His principles, His Word, that I might be transformed into the image of Christ, that every bit of the mind of Christ come down in my life and be manifested outwardly in my life. And the more that it is, the more that He can do the exaltation. But whenever you begin to take things into your own hand, you not only are getting a false exaltation in your life, but you're opening yourself up for the enemy to come in and devour you. Take that thing in your life and self-destruct yourself. Actually, even then, the enemy really doesn't need to do a whole lot. Because you're doing it all. But he goes on and says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, the timing of the Lord is everything. You know, you can have the mind of the Lord and have the will of God. But it doesn't just stop there. The timing of the Lord also enters into the picture. His season. Not your season. Not what I thought was my season. But His season. But if you'll humble yourself under the hand of the Lord, in due season, He will exalt you. Then He goes on, He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Said, Brother Rogers, I'd like to resist the devil. You need to begin to cast your care upon Him. You need to begin to submit yourself under the hand of God. You need to begin to submit yourself, your life, under the things in the Word of God that you can use to resist the devil. One of the first things will be casting the cares. How's casting the cares? Well, that is whenever the peace of God comes in, begins to consume your life, and then all dependency in every situation, whether it be finances, family, health, ministry, all things are cast upon Him, and all dependency is upon God. You say, well, I need to know how to do that. Well, there's several things you can do. Prayer, fasting, worship, meditation, confession of the Word of God. How do you know? How do you know what you have at your disposal if you haven't been in the Word of God, if you haven't meditated the Word of God, if you haven't read the Word of God, if you hadn't confessed the Word of God? How can it become a part of you? How could you have something to enforce the defeat of the devil? How can you resist him if you have nothing to resist him with? How can you walk in the peace of God if you don't know what it is that it's God's mind and God's will? Have you thought of that? How can you walk in the peace of God if you don't know what His will is? What His mind is concerning that certain problem, that certain thing in your life that you need the peace of God operating in order to enforce the defeat of the devil? If you don't know. But he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Self-exaltation is a care. Think about it. You're taking on. You're taking on this care of whether you're going to advance or not. So you're self-exalting yourself. You're pushing yourself into a position where you're not supposed to be. You're pushing yourself into an area that you have not walked into, that God has not exalted you into. You're taking on that care. I'm going to be God and exalt myself. Taking every care, casting your cares upon Him. Because whenever you roll these cares over on Him, whenever you take the things and the Word of God that began to let Him change those areas of your life, all of a sudden that care that was there that the enemy could come in and grab a hold of and twist and turn and take your emotions and string them out and cause you to go berserk, all of a sudden it's not there for him to get a hold of. And when it's not there for him to get a hold of, you're walking in the peace of God, and that peace of God is how you resist the enemy and that he will flee. That's why we preach over and over. Prayer, pray, 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 Pray. Let the Holy Spirit bring you into that new peace that you've never experienced before. Not just for a moment. Not just during a worship service. Not just during a conference. Do you know that it didn't end with last night? Do you know that it continues on day after day? Do you know that you determine whether it carries on day after day after last night? You determine it. God doesn't determine it. I don't determine it. The pastor don't determine it. Gary doesn't determine it. You determine whether it carries on. You determine whether you continue to walk into what you walked into this week. You determine whether you apply what you heard this week. You choose. You determine it. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know whether I want that responsibility. It don't matter what you want. That's what determines it. You determine it. You make the choice whether you're going to go to apply those things, begin to walk into the peace of God, that you'll become unmanageable concerning the devil, that he won't be able to come and devour you so quick, that you don't go flipping out across. I get tickled because a lot of times I'll get people in the prayer line. I'll see them go flipping out across the auditorium, out across the sanctuary. It's his little picture for me, where you're at. That you can limit those times. You can begin to change the things in your life. That's why we preach and we teach over and over. Pray. 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 Confess. 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 Change your soul. Change your way of thinking. Confess. Meditate. Meditate upon the Word of God. Yes, fast. 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 Let that born-again man come forth. Put to death the old man. Bury him. Let the born-again man come forth. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Sustaining yourself. Worshiping God. Ministering to your own soul. Worshiping God with the Word of God. Worship Him. Confession and worship. Worshiping God with the Word of God. You determine whether you're going to be devoured or not. You determine. You determine whether you're going to take what you heard this week, some of you, and continue right on in it, or is it going to be just another conference? You determine whether you find yourself on the outer fringes being devoured by the enemy while everyone else is in the flow of God. You determine. He says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He didn't say he was a roaring lion. He said like a roaring lion. He needs you to show him that he doesn't have anything. Do you hear me? You determine whether he does anything. You determine whether he becomes a lion. He goes about seeking, roaring like a lion. You determine whether he becomes that lion or not. Seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings you're experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Well, now that's real interesting. That's just real interesting. In fact, that kind of lined up with what I spoke to Barbara a little bit ago. I'd like to say that this is over. The Lord told me, He said, you tell her that you'd like to say that this is over, but then you'd be lying. He says, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, your Lord Jesus Christ. Not that He wants you to suffer. He's just saying here that you get to determine how fast you are able to resist the enemy and he'll flee. You get to determine whether you're devourable or not. And there may be times, it just depends on how messed up you are. It's determined by where you're at. Just when did you start to decide that you're going to become undevourable? Just when did you make that decision? Just when did you make that decision to start applying the things in the Word of God? When did you start? That will determine just how much you have to go through. See, some of us are in a bigger mess than others. And so when you make that decision that you're not going to be devourable and you're going to start applying the Word of God. See, it's very obvious in the Word of God it's not just being saved, folks. Some of you have been taught that it's just being saved. That's it. That settles it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. That's not the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is this, is that you take your vengeance out on the devil.
Amen.
And that through that, then, that you lay up to your account in heaven, fruit up to your account that will last, that will be tested by fire, and still remain after it's tested. But you determine it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. My friends, you cannot fail. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to comfort you, whatever is needed. He sent Him to change you, to teach you, to teach that born-again spirit, bring into your life the things that He has given unto you. And He is here to carry you through until that time of the full redemptive plan has come to pass. You cannot fail. You will go over. You will win. Because you're going to take the Holy Spirit, that promise that He sealed you with, you're going to take the Holy Spirit and everything in the Word of God and become less and less devourable. And every time that you fall, the grace of God is going to lift you up, set you back on track. You cannot fail. The Holy Spirit was here, yes, to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, but He's here also to carry you through until the time of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot fail. You can do nothing but go over. Stand to your feet. You cannot fail. What a plan. What a plan. Not only brought you salvation, the blood of Jesus washing away your sins, cleansing you, the grace of God being there to lift you up when you fail, put you back on track, the Word of God and the things of God to begin to work in your life, take out the things that make you devourable, changes your soul, changes your flesh. Let you overcome the things in the flesh that you couldn't overcome. Not only that, but He's here. He's here to carry you through. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lift your hands, begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship You, Jesus. I praise You and I thank You, Lord Jesus. Prayer, worship, fasting, meditation of the Word of God, confession, not necessarily in that order, taking everything in the Word of God because you made a decision, I'm going to resist the devil so he'll flee. You made a decision, I'm not going to stay the way I once was. You made a decision that you're going to go all the way with God. You're not just going to be a pew sitter. You're not just going to show up for an Easter Sunday service. You're not going to show up for just a Sunday morning service. You made a quality decision. I'm going to take everything in the Word of God. And I know that the Word of God says that I may have to stand and suffer through some things because of my not having that capacity yet to overcome. But I know that on the other side, I come out in victory. Because it's already been laid out. The devil's defeated, and I'm here to enforce his defeat and not become a casualty on the outer fringes. Because the full redemptive plan of Christ is this, is that I get born again, washed in His blood, filled with the Holy Spirit, and be able to carry out the perfect plan, the perfect will of God for my life until the time of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I worship You. Bruce, there really is a sweet spirit in this place, as always. Begin to sing and worship God. First Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. First of all, I appreciate and admire people like Derek, Jeremy, Erica, Bruce, the outreach team, being here all week, most of the week, coming here on Saturday morning, the day after the conference. I could say a lot more. I won't. But I just appreciate that. I just appreciate that they put out everything in the conference, everything that made every meeting, or most of them, let's say, but still, Saturday morning comes, the outreach service, the normal service, and they're still here, wanting to be at Jesus' disposal. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, it's easy to think up excuses. You know, you really don't have to look too far. The devil, he's always waiting. If he can get an ear, he'll speak into it. He'll speak excuses, or he'll speak, let's say, well, you're too tired this week. You know, let somebody else do it. You can rest. You know, and not that you shouldn't, it's just that, you know, if you can't maintain the pressure right now, you better break through it. If you think you're called into the ministry, I got news for you. You think your job is hard work? People used to tell me this. I'll tell you right now, I didn't believe them. It's a ministry, it's hard work if you do it right.